That song will light your fire, won't it? I'm telling you, that's beautiful. Beautiful job. And that's great instrumentalist here, and I think the Lord was honored in the singing and in His Word already tonight. It is a pleasure, and I am humbled to be with you. I just met these guys 1 year ago, actually, and have gotten to know them. It was started in a little conference that they had with Brother Daryl Lingerfeld, which they have from time to time. And I was invited to go and to preach. And I thought, well, I don't really know about this conference. And I prayed, and what are you going to preach? And I searched, and actually thought I would find some, I'll just be honest, I thought I would find some very prideful people. Because I know how sometimes folks get caught up in God's sovereignty, and those folks kind of run with it and become very arrogant. And anyway, I thought, well, it's pride. It's got to be pride. And I found some of the most humblest people I've ever seen. And I think it might have been just to me. But sometimes we get lifted up with pride, and you don't realize it. And anyway, we tried to squash that a little bit, and gave my testimony. And I'm not going to do that tonight, but just a little bit. You have no. Who is Ricky Nelson? I'm not going to sing Mary Lou or Garden Party. We're going to talk about something more serious. And I was saved when I was born in 59, saved in 69. How about that? A little 10-year-old boy, and was raised in a Christian home. My grandparents were believers. My great-grandparents are believers. My mom and dad is believers. I don't know what it's like to be out of church. But with that, I was afraid I lived a life of just kind of like the Amish. And that is, you're caught up in not doing. Man, don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew. Don't run with those that do, and don't do this. And based upon those things, I was a pretty good guy. But I learned something as the years went by, and I learned it's just not what we do or don't do, right? And I've learned something since then, and it's Christ. It's really all about Him, right? And tonight you guys have come, and we're to honor Him. We're not honoring me or anybody else. I'm not honoring the music, even as beautiful as it was. We're honoring Christ. And these songs that were chosen did that. And we're very careful at our church about what songs we sing. And we're old Southern gospel singers. Y'all know that bunch? We get excited about... I just went blank. But anyway, some of these old Southern gospel hymns, you know, in the Red Book. And we would sing harmony, and we'd sing bass and alto and lead and tenor. And we got excited, and it was good. People would come to our church and say, man, that's the best I've ever heard. And it was good. But sometimes I'm afraid we got caught up more in the way we sounded and who we were singing about or to. And so we changed a lot of that and sing these songs that you guys are singing. And they're God-honoring. But I want to talk to you tonight about a subject and that the Lord's laid upon my heart. And the title of the sermon tonight is God's People. He just read to you out of Romans 9. And we read all of that almost. And let me tell you what Paul was doing. Paul was trying to set the record straight. You had some folks here who didn't understand choice. And here's what they understood. They thought because you were Israel, you were in. If I'm a Jew, I'm good to go. But Jesus disproved all that and told them what they really were and where they were going. But today, folks do the same thing. If I'm a member of the church, if I give the most money, if I don't do this or don't do that. And I've been baptized since I was a little boy or a little girl. And I remember when I went to the altar, you see. And they hang their hat on the wrong nail. And they don't trust in what Christ has done, but what they've done. So he's telling them and teaching them Who are, now remember, the Jews are bent out of shape here. I have to give you a little background because the Gentiles were being saved. See what's happened? Israel has, at this point, been placed on the shelf, so to speak. They're under judgment and still are, by the way. He's turned now his attention to the Gentile. This is a hard pill for them to swallow. And he's breaking that thing down to prove them it's me anyway. It is not you. It's me. And because you are who you are, I make you. I choose you. Again, this was a hard pill for me to swallow in 1993. I was the guy that would get you down to the altar. I would cause you to say the sinner's prayer. We did a lot of those things. Had a big church too. And by the way, let me tell you, those things do work. You understand? To get a crowd. They'll get you a crowd. They just don't get you saved. And the Lord brought me to my face. And I repented in 1993 of all I taught wrong because I was taught wrong. That's how important it is, brother, to pastor these people and to teach them better than I was taught. My mom and dad is a good people, fine people, love the Lord with all their heart. But they teach what they were taught. And we were taught, preach hard and come down to the altar, tell a sad story about right on the end, you know. Play one more verse. Just one more. Is anybody back there that's not a Christian? Raise your hand. God sees that hand. You know the story, don't you? And with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, and people would be peeping and looking. And you're just manipulating the people. Listen to me, I was not doing that on purpose. I honestly wanted those people to be saved. And I was doing everything in my power. If I could just get them to come to the altar. If I could just get them to say that sinner's prayer. I knew they'd be good. There's a bunch of people prayed that prayer. And I'm afraid one day I'll stand before the Lord and give an account of those things. And I kind of dread that. I'll give an account. But I know the Lord's forgiven me. Honestly, didn't do that on purpose. And guys, I'll tell you, this is why I want to help other pastors. I don't believe they're doing it on purpose, some of them. I believe they're just doing something that looks like it works. But if they'll read the Scripture, they'll see. And when I fell in love with this book, I fell in love with Christ. And when I fell in love with Christ, He led me out of this mess. And now, we don't do that. We don't do those things. If the gospel doesn't save you, my sad stories or all my begging is not going to save you. It's the gospel. So, He's teaching them, you're God's people. You're God's people. How? So He tells them how. Just because you're a Jew, you're not in. Just because you're a church member. Look at all our... We're still in the Southern Baptist Association. You can give a little record every once in a while and see the records. And I still see people with 200 members. How many people's coming? 50? That's embarrassing, isn't it? We're the only church that got more people coming than members. Because we purge a roll every year. If you don't show up to our church for a year, you're just self-gone. You can't stay in the Rotary Club if you do that, right? When we talk to them and pray for them, we know where they're at. You know, somebody gets sick, we're not going to take them off. You understand? We know. We know they're gone or gone something. We deal with that. But just because you have your name on the book. Heard people say so many times, yeah, he's got to be saved. I remember when he was a little boy, he was baptized. That's kind of in our language, but the Jew, they thought they were Jews. They're God's chosen people. We are in. You're turning to the Gentiles. They've been out of shape. The Romans now are being saved. The Gentiles are being saved. And really, also in dealing with this, the Gentiles begin to think that all of them were in. You know, oh, God's forgot about them. So Paul's just straightening out, who are God's people? Who are they? So he pulls all that together and he reads. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Let's ask the Lord to bless His Word again tonight. Father, tonight I'm again humbled to be here. I thank You for this church. I thank You, Lord, for as I look around and I came in and watched, they have an amazing opportunity of folks around them. There's a lot of people down here. There's more people down here than where I'm at. We all have the same calling, but there's a lot of people. They have a wonderful ministry. And I pray that they're so excited about You that they won't be still till everyone I'm saved. I pray that they have such a passion for Christ and a love for the lost for them to be saved that they'll reach everybody in Madison. I pray for this church. I pray for them. And I pray tonight that Your Word will be clear, it'll be rightly divided, and it will take, as it takes its aim, it will hit the place it's meant to. Change hearts and lives tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Those, He said, as indeed He says in Hosea, Romans 9:25, those who were not My people, I will call My people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. And in the very place where it was said to them, you're not My people, there they will be called sons of the living God. Well, at first that looks so confusing, doesn't it? What is He talking about? That's what I'm for. That's what preachers are for. We're to expound upon this Word and share it with you. So Paul jumps quickly around here and his mind is racing and he's reading Scripture, reading from the Old Testament, actually. As indeed it says in Hosea. He had just mentioned before this the vessels of mercy. Well, who are they? Israel believed that it was all the Jews. They thought it was all them. They are the vessels of mercy, since they were the chosen ones. And then when he turned to the Gentiles, some thought, okay, now it's all of us. But neither then nor now is it all Gentiles or all Jews. It's not all of either, but some of both. Well, which one is it? We see he was not referring necessarily to the nations or peoples, but also of individuals here. He says, out of. To put it in perspective, many today believe, as I said a while ago, that you're a member of a church, you're in, you've been baptized. It's not true. The Jews believed that. He's also destroying the notion that just because God turned to the Gentiles again, it's not all the Gentiles, but some. And the failure for the Jews to believe that was not His fault. They had been told in the Old Testament that this was going to happen. I won't take time to look all that up, but it's there that you'll see over and over. God said this was going to happen. Don't know why they were surprised. I'm going to do this. And He is doing it. So again, who are these objects of mercy? So as He turns to the Old Testament, He said, as indeed, He says in Hosea, those who were not My people, I will call My people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. Let's go now to Hosea 1. We're going to come back there, but go to Hosea 1. We will see 4 points tonight. God's choice, God's promise, God's mercy and grace, and God's people. So let's look here, Hosea 1:1, where he's actually quoting from. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The word of the Lord came to Hosea. So let's see God's choice. Now this is not a big deal to you, probably, God's choice. For a man that taught it was not God's choice for a long time in 1993 became a big deal to me. It's a little man, a young man came to our church this morning. He's broken to pieces. Not too long ago, he was an atheist. And he's a cousin to our associate pastor and our music leader. And something happened back in April. And the Lord saved him. He thought he was saved, but he's been raised like me and do this and don't do this. He was real confused. He got into heavy metal, music, totally rejected God, become very agnostic. Just a mess. And then, and as he said this, we've been asking a ton of questions. We've been helping him, trying to help him. Comes all the way from Savannah. And we've been trying to help him through all this. And he said this morning, he said, you know the old song, I once was blind, but now I see? He said, it all makes sense now. And you know what else he said? Speaking of God's choice, which is where I was going with this, he said, I wasn't even looking for him. I never lifted my eyes to look to him. He came to me. I hear these testimonies all the time, and it is God who works in us. It is him. And my goodness, if we're saved and born again, we ought to be the most happiest person alive, rejoicing. Every one of us, all of us should be in hell tonight. And we are not. We're here, we're breathing and alive. God is good. We're fellowshipping with each other. We're hearing the Word. God's promise. God's choice. God's grace and mercy. And God's people. Now watch as it unfolds and what happens. And watch, you will see. Coming through all of this, you will see Jesus Christ Himself and the love He has for His church. His people. Watch. When the Lord first spake, here's His choice, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. What is he doing? What in the world did he do something like that? Well, God is showing here of Israel's unfaithfulness to Himself. And he tells Hosea, I want you to go take to yourself a wife who looks like Israel to me, see? Who's committing adultery with this old world. He had loved Israel, right? He had nourished her. He had cared for and fed her. But she was extremely unfaithful, committing adultery. The language actually here in the Greek indicates multiple times. It's just over and over. So verse 3 said, so he did, he obeyed, he went and took Gomer, the daughter of the Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. The wife named Gomer tells you something, doesn't it? I mean, right off the bat. But he said, go get this woman of whoredom, and I want you to marry her. And then, of course, he explained to him why. And the Lord said to him, after she bore the son, said, I want you to call his name Jezreel. For in just a little while, I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel. And I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. All right? And remember, this is God's people, they thought. But who really are God's people? He's narrowing this down, showing you. So, and how did they become his people? Okay. So he said, I want you to name him Jezreel. It's an unusual name. And what it means is actually a motion made with the hands in order to scatter something. And that is, God is scattering Israel all over the place. Like scattering seed. Okay. It's even into the land of the Gentiles. I'm scattering you. And on that day, he said, I'll break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And then Gomer had another baby. She conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, call her name No Mercy. For I will have no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah. And I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen. So I want you to name that baby No Mercy. Lo Ruhamah. Meaning, Lo means no. Ruhama means loved or pitied. So, no love, not loved, not pitied, no mercy. Okay? Makes sense, doesn't it? So we got his name. No mercy. And when she had weaned no mercy, she conceived and bore a son, and the Lord said, call his name not my people. For you are not my people. And I am not your God. That's powerful, isn't it? Look around today. Are you not on social media enough to see the hypocrisy? Can you not see? They say, oh, I love Jesus. So pray for me or something. And then on another post, they're just all out in the world doing the most ungodly things. I'm not so sure about that. By the way, I want you to know, social media is one of the best revealer of hearts I have ever seen. It will tell on you. If you want to get caught up in that, and we're a really big social media user, we put Bible verses and quotes. Fred's got stuff out there all the time. You can just have Sunday school any day with Fred. And he, you know what? He uses it. And that's what it's for. Now, we send that stuff out, put it out. But if you really want to get caught up and got a little time, I want you to look at something. Look at the posts people make about the Lord, then go look at their lives. A lot of times they don't match. It don't fit. That's a hypocritical lifestyle. They say, it is my God. You know what he's saying? I'm not your God. You don't belong to me. But they're claiming him. And they live hypocrisy. And the Jews, we're not of anybody. Our father's Abraham. Oh, you're not, Jesus said. Your father's the devil. If you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. And you're not. And we all have a list. If you're saved, you will do this, 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 this. If you're lost, you'll do this, 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 this. It's in here. And these people were saying, you're my God. He says, I'm not your God. And I'll have no mercy. And I'm going to scatter you. Hard words. I'm telling you. Not loved, not pitied, and now lo am I. The word lo means again, no or not. Am I means my people. Not my people. You're not my people. Now listen to this carefully. We won't dwell here too long. But there are only two kinds of people in the world that are saved and lost, or Jew and Gentile. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. If you're not God's people, you're a Gentile. That's what John Calvin says. I know nobody quotes John Calvin, but here's what he said. When the Jews were banished from the family of God, they were thereby reduced to a common level with the Gentiles. The distinction between Jew and Gentile had been removed. And the mercy of God now extends indiscriminately to all the Gentiles. I don't know if you got that or if it made any sense. Now they're they're Gentiles like everybody else that they're mad at that God's turning to. But if that had not happened, they themselves wouldn't have been saved. Because we are saved by His grace. You see? And He said, no more mercy. Not my people. But let's look at God's promise now. Then He said, verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And this is the promise. He just got through saying this, and then he's saying this. What's going to happen? He said, in the place where it was said to them, which is what Paul quoted, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Did you get it? Watch. Not the word, the one name, not my people. Not my people become children of the living God. He changed their name. He's given them a new name. The scattered, meaning like this, left his name still Jezreel, but, meaning now with the same hand, gathered together, sown. You weren't scattering, but now you're taking the same thing and sowing or planting. Okay? And then, no mercy will be great and have one head. So here now is where he changes her name. Chapter 2, verse 23. And I will sow her for myself in the land. Not scattered. You see that? Jezreel now becomes planted. And I will have mercy on no mercy, and I will say to not my people, you are my people, and he shall say, you are my God. No mercy now will become mercy. Lo Ruhamah now becomes Ruhamah. Lo Ammi now becomes Ammi. Jezreel still stays the same, but the different meaning of the name. And how do you do that? Mercy. His grace reached out. So God turns to the Gentile and elects many. He shows His grace. That His grace is His mercy. Those once rejected become chosen. I was raised, and many of you, and I was told this. Getting saved is like this. You're on a boat and you fall out. And you're down in that water and you're kicking and squealing and you're trying to get out and trying to keep from drowning. And somebody throws you a life preserver. And they saved your life. No, that's not what it was like at all. It was like me. A dirty, dead wretch who could not lift up my hand. And I was miserable and poor and naked and blind. And you know what? As I've told in my testimony, I've never taken a drink. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never done drugs. I did take some Advil and Tylenol one time. But you know, He's never going to ask me that question. And I cannot pride myself in those things, but I once did. Because I thought that's what it took. And when I asked, and He asked me, and I used to, you know, go through these classes, you know, how to get people to come to church and invite people to the Lord. And you ask them these three questions. Remember what they are? You know, right now, do you understand just what I told you? If you don't understand it, do you understand it now? And what if the Lord would say to you, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? A long time ago, I was probably said, because I went to the altar and prayed the sinner's prayer. And see, now, you know what I would say? I would bow down to Him and I would say, because of you, I didn't do anything. You did it all. And that's how we can take that crown that He gives us and place it at the feet of Him. Because He alone is worthy. So it's there we become God's people because His mercy, His grace moved upon us. Now watch, we'll move quickly here, all right? So then, that becomes God's people. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Once you were not people, now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. 1 Peter, Hosea, Romans. What's he saying? I did it. And verses before, the verses we read in Romans 9, is the potter in the clay. You get it? He's the potter. With the clay, he can do whatever he wants. You say, that doesn't seem fair. You want to hear fair? Fair is that you should be in hell tonight. So if you want to argue fair, that's where we should be. It's amazing that anybody would be saved. Anybody. Just one. We become God's people. Today, it's not Jew, it's not Gentile, it's the church comprised of what? Both Jew and Gentile, according to His sovereign grace, election. Verse 26, as we read in Romans 9, in the very place where it was told to them, you're not my people there, they'll be called the sons of the living God. Now let's finish up in Hosea 2. Remember, he's married Gomer. She was terrible. Prostitute, a woman of whoredom, a terrible woman. But he marries her. And he has these three kids. Hosea 2:14 says, therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. Hosea 2:19, and I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and mercy. What love does this take? What mercy? What happened to Gomer? It gives an indication, and we can see in chapter 3, but she left Hosea again. You know that? She ran away. She left him. I don't know why you want to leave a good man, but she did. Fine man. Anybody would just took her without a good man, right? But the Lord told her to, and she went back. She went back into harlotry. Finally, she was lured to that of a slave girl. Placed up for auction and bid off like other slaves. Should have been killed, right? But mercy and grace. Hosea 3:1, and the Lord said to me, go again. Meaning what? Go again. That means where? She's gone. Go again. Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man, and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel. Though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins, watch what he did. Hosea said, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver, and a homer and a lectok of barley. In verse 3, and I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you. Hosea says, you're mine. You're my wife. Again, she could have been killed for her unfaithfulness, but love was shown, grace and love, and that is Christ. He paid the price for us and bought us back. You've heard that little story. I know I've not shared that in a long time, but I remember it. Some of you probably heard it. But a little boy bought a boat. And he had that little boat, and he was so proud of it. One day he put it up on the water. And a wind came and took that little sailboat, little toy boat, and went away. He sat there and cried and cried. His boat was gone. A little later on, his boy was walking through the pawn shop in town. He saw in the pawn shop window his little boat that he had built, that he had made and created a long time ago. And he went in there and he said, sir, that's my boat. No, you have to buy it. But it's mine. You have to buy it. So he went and paid the price. And he took that little boat outside and he said, oh, little boat, I love you now twice as much. First, I made you, and then I bought you. And that's what Jesus has done for us. He made us. And then look what we did. And then He went and bought us back. And He says to Hosea, go get her again. I want you to go get her again. And Hosea goes and gets her. He had to pay for this time. Christ has redeemed us. And He paid that price on the cross. And now He says, you're always mine. You're mine. One day, we will not do Him wrong. And today, you know why I used to not want to do wrong? Because I was afraid He'd get me. You know why I used to not put my feet on the couch? because my mom would have knocked my face off. She would have whipped me with a fly swat. You ever had one of those? What about a razor strap? Telling you, I've been whipped. I don't care to tell you. But I've never been beaten. But I've been whipped. And my mom would say, don't you put your feet on that couch. And you know why I didn't? It was because she told me not to, because I was afraid of her. But I go in her house today. She's 77. And I don't put my feet on her couch. You know why? She's not going to whip me. My mama wouldn't even fuss on me. It's because I love her. I know what she's capable of. But now my respect for her. One time as a teenager, I told my mama to shut up. Don't do that. And I said, she told me something. I said, shut up. And I was way too close to her. And all my whippings were my bottom down. But this time, she slapped me right in the face. And when she did, she had had tendonitis in her elbow, and it was almost better. And it ripped something back loose in there, and she began to cry. And I did too, because I hurt my mama. And now when I sin, it's not that and it hurts me and breaks my heart. It's not that he's going to come down on me and send me to hell. It's because I hurt him. And I broke his heart. The one that died for me and gave his whole life for me. And it breaks. Do I still sin? I've not met anybody that's completely quit. And it kills me. And that's what Christians do. They keep repenting. And I hate it now. I'm afraid. I know what he's capable of. But I don't want to hurt him. That's my Savior. That is truly my best friend. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's everything to me. And he's not going to do me wrong. I didn't deserve it. Neither did the Gentiles. Neither did Israel. And where does that leave us? Totally dependent upon Him. Upon His grace extended to sinners like me. I repeated a while ago, and I never tell this to exalt myself. But because I haven't drank and been drunk and done drugs, and I don't know. I've never done those things. But I was as lost as any murderer that's ever been lost. You know these guys you see on TV now is tearing down the statues and doing all this ridiculous stuff? I heard John MacArthur say just this week, they're not mad at those statues. They're not mad at what happened in history a long time ago. They're just mad. They're just mad. They're sinners. They don't know Christ. That's all it is. And they're trying to take it out on somebody or something. That's all it is. And you know what? They need to be saved. And if you're not careful, you and me is going to get so mad at them, we won't even try to reach out to them or pray for them. But you know what? You and me is capable of the same thing that they're doing. We're capable. And had the Lord not come to us, you'd be out there doing the same thing. And we would go from bad to worse. And left undone in our sin, no telling what we would do. And I was as bad as anybody's ever been until He saved me. And that changed me. It's not because I didn't do this or did that. We cannot do good. So remember Gomer the harlot. Depraved, miserable, wretched, and hopeless. And where was she? I can see her now in that little slave block being auctioned off. And there she sits, knowing at one time she had it made. Maybe she's standing on that block, who knows. Maybe she's thinking in her mind, man, I've surely messed up. I'm a mess. They can kill me. Somebody's going to buy me and use me. There's no hope. And then she looked up And she saw Hosea coming. And Hosea raised his hand. And he said, I'll buy her. I'll make her mine. I'll make her twice mine. And I will love her. And no man will ever take her away from me again. I will make her mine. And that's what Christ did for us. And you as a Christian need to be reminded of that from day to day, or else we forget where we really came from and what we could be. And if you're here and you don't know Christ, I don't care what you've done or ain't done. I don't care how bad you've been. You must do one thing like everybody else, and that's repent. That little boy that came to our church this morning, that young man, 30-something year old, he said, you know, I reached the bottom. And he said, when I reached the bottom, the Lord came to me. And Hosea's wife, Gomer, reached the bottom. And as soon as she did, here come her salvation. She's mine. I'll pay the price of a slave. And he did. And he made her his. She had done nothing to earn his love. Nothing. She had just rejected him. She had played the harlot again. She's just terrible. And she couldn't do anything. She deserves death. And now, helpless, like us, we can do nothing either. Hosea took her out of there. And I'm sure he took her home and cleaned her up. Got her hair fixed. And made her his. And he was proud of her. And loved her. Boy, when we quit seeing that as a Christian, you'll quit witnessing, you'll quit going to church, you'll quit singing, your joy will be gone, and we have to be reminded. So back from the darkness, here we are. So today, I ask you to humble yourself and let Christ save you. There's nothing you can do. You don't got to walk this altar, walk up here. You don't have to pray a sinner's prayer. What would you say? Dear Lord Jesus, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart. You ever heard that? I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I want to tell you something. I remind you of the fact, and I love to share this. People don't, when Peter jumped out of the boat, did anybody have to teach him what to say when he said, Lord, save me? He didn't have to repeat nothing. He said, Lord, save me. Is that enough? That's enough. And as a Christian, you think you have to go to church to learn how to tell others about Christ? You say, well, I'm just not that educated. Let me ask you this. Remember when you had your first baby or second one or third one or your wife did? You remember the glow on your face and how excited you were? You remember the love? And me and Sherry said when she got pregnant, she said, we're not going to tell nobody. We're just going to keep this to ourselves for a while. Well, we were just bubbling all over. We would go somewhere and we'd just smile. Nobody, that was up to something. Because we're bubbling over with something good to share. And we wound up telling everybody, we're going to have a baby. And you know what? We didn't have to read a book how to do it. We weren't ashamed. We weren't embarrassed. We didn't care who. We'd meet a stranger. Yeah, she's pregnant. That's our first baby there. And we're tickled to death. And we have to be coaxed to witness. We have to be begged to go tell somebody. Where's your glow, guys? Come on. It's a zeal. And the more in love with this Savior that saved you, that bought you are, the less you'll have to be told to go and tell somebody. Because you will tell them. You can't get that grin off your face. And people need, people go witness today and it's like this. You don't want to be saved, do you? And they say, well, and they make it so stiff, who wants it, right? Look like the person you're trying to get them to be. You look so dead. And they're the ones dead. Give them something. Where is our joy? Screaming at stupid ball games and doing all this other stuff we're not ashamed of, but when it comes to Him, don't tell me there's not a problem. I know there is. I don't care how many good songs we sing. There's something down in here. This church ought to be filled tonight. There's enough people here and there's enough Christian people here that you could turn this place upside down. This is Madison. And you've got something to do. So look up. See Jesus coming after you and see what He's done and paid that price and you're His. And if we can just remind folks of that. There's a lost world out there. Before I leave, I ask you the question. I don't want to put law on you or guilt. But I do want to ask you this. When's the last time you begged and pleaded for the Lord to save one of your family members or just a lost person you know? I can truthfully tell you that in our church, we used to do that. And I'm sad to say that some of the passion is not there like it used to be. And I'm saddened, but I'm asking the Lord to forgive us. But I know what it's like to pastor church where those people would come up here and beg for the Lord to save their brother or their mama or their neighbor. And the tears would flow and they'd just say, God, please, please. And they were beseeching God on their behalf and interceding for them. And nobody was telling them they ought to do it. I want that back and we're trying to get back there. And I believe with all my heart we'll head that way and we're returning to those things. So you see, just as much Israel thought they were so good, sometimes we've just got to be told we're not that good. We're not that hot. Just look at our lives. I love you guys. Thank you for letting me come. You're a precious group. You have a precious pastor. I thought you were going to lose him for a while. We prayed for him and the Lord had mercy, didn't He? And it's just amazing that he's still here. The Lord's not done with him. And as I met Brother Fred, the Lord just blessed me through him. And when I grow up, I want to be a friend. And some of the things he says and does, I'm just humbled. That's all I can say. Him and Brother Dean both. And I mean that. I'm not saying here that I'm just telling you away from here what I see. Okay? You honor your elders. You pray for them. And love them. You got something special. I'm telling you, you have something special. You lift them high and you lift them up in prayer. They're loving you and you take care of them. You'll be blessed, I promise you. You'll be fed. Take pressure off them. Don't make them have to go to the doctor and the hospital. And they can't see everybody. It's not their job. It's our job. It's your job. Take those burdens off and pray for them and love them and be faithful to Christ. Watch what happens to this church as you explode and see the lost come to Christ. Let's pray. Father, tonight, thank you. I don't think I've done an adequate job tonight to treat this subject as well as I should. But thank you for the opportunity to get to try. I thank you for these people. Thank you for reminding us through your word where we once was sitting on that slave block. Miserable and poor and nobody loved us, just a nothing. But you came to us and you paid that price. And what a price it was. It's amazing. Amazing grace. Father, if there is one lost person here tonight, today is the day of salvation. Oh, I pray tonight that they will repent of their sins and be born again. Change their hearts and minds tonight. And lift them up to you. And thank you again for these people. Watch over them, bless them, and I pray they'll be so fired up about you more than anything else that this whole community cannot help but from knowing these people love Christ. I pray for them in the name of Jesus. Amen.